the teaching of Sabbath. The Sabbath day, we have learned a lot, and we are going to continue on part 4. The subject that I want to teach today, by the grace of God, is the Christian Sabbath day is Sunday. The Christian Sabbath day is Sunday. Now, I will never forget when I was a missionary in the Philippines, in Lactang, going to different houses, trying to witness to the people. And I saw in a little hut, I still have that picture over there, there were some Seventh-day Adventists teaching a small fellowship over there. And I went in curiosity to see what they are doing. I had a Christian t-shirt and they asked me if I'm a Christian. I said yes. Then they challenged me, saying that Sabbath day is Saturday. And that was the beginning of our fellowship in Lactang. And I had to defend the Christian faith through the Bible. And God gave me the grace to defend the truth. Those people who were hearing like Jocelyn, now they are in our fellowship. And God turned everything to His glory. And now we have a fellowship over there, Agape Chapel Ministries, Cebu. And so today, this is the heresy of the Seventh-day Adventists, saying that you have to worship God on Saturday. If you don't worship God on Saturday, you will get the mark of the beast and all kinds of teachings. But today we are going to continue on our subject on the Christian Sabbath is Sunday. We can remember last time we saw very clearly how the ceremonial law was abolished. If you can remember, we talked on the middle wall. Right? The middle wall, the ceremonial law was abolished, broken. The Jew and the Gentile now can come together in Christ Jesus. The middle wall was a hindrance for the Jew and the Gentile to come together. Today we are going to see how the day was changed to Sunday. When the ceremonial law was abolished with the death of Christ on the cross, the reality of the moral law still continues with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The new covenant was already prophesied in the book of Jeremiah. It was prophesied, established by the Father in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the new covenant came with the new day of worship. And that is Sunday. Now if you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, starting from verse 31. 31:31 says here, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds." I will put my law into their minds. "And I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more." The new covenant, which was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, refers very clearly to the new covenant that Jesus made with the church, to the time of the gospel of grace. This prophecy was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. This covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The Old Testament church was alienated away from God. We can see the backsliding of the church in the book of Jeremiah. Then God promises that they would become one body again. No more two houses, but one body again. They will be united into one house, not two houses. The ceremonial law of the old covenant was broken. We saw that the middle wall was broken and the outward form of the law was done away. And the moral law, the substance of the covenant, was exposed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Beatitudes. And it still continues. The new covenant was established through Jesus Christ. Now, when Holy Spirit came and regenerated us, meaning born again by the Spirit of God, He made us a new man. All old things have passed away, the new has just begun. So there is no outward form of worship. There are no more ceremonial laws. There is no veil that separates us from God. God speaks to us face to face today through the Word of God. Directly from the Bible, the veil is removed, and instead of the veil, now there is Jesus Christ. And Christ is not a separation as the veil it is, but Christ is the way to the Father now. The veil was a separation, but now Christ is the way to the Father. And if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, we see the author of Hebrews quotes directly from Jeremiah. Hebrews 8, 8. Because finding fault, verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more. So here we see that Hebrews is the New Testament is a fulfillment of that covenant, and that's why the author of Hebrews goes to expose this, and you can read the whole chapter 9 and 10, and it will really clearly shows that how Christ fulfilled the covenant. And now Hebrews chapter 10 verse 16 says, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And also, you don't have to turn with me, in Romans 11:27, you can make a cross reference. Apostle Paul said, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Romans 11:27. And also Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, Hebrews 12:24 says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There you go. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. We see this. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant who fulfilled the new covenant. And lastly, let's go to Matthew chapter 26:28. We see the ultimate sacrifice was the Lamb of God. Where with one sacrifice He removed our sins. Jeremiah prophesied, Christ fulfilled it. We see in Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, chapter 26:28, Jesus said, For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Very clear in the Bible. Scripture. You know, you can interpret Scripture by other Scriptures. So, here we see the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand there are no more sacrifices as the sacrifice of the Sabbaths were done away. But the worship of the Sabbath still continues. The sacrifice was done away, but the worship of the Sabbath still continues. The sacrifice of the law was nailed to the cross. The ceremonial law was nailed to the cross as Jesus was crucified. But on the third day, on Sunday early morning, Jesus rose from the dead. He rose with the same body. Not with a different body, but the same body. He rose with the same body, but the body was changed from mortal to immortal, from earthly to a heavenly body. He is still the Lord of the Sabbath. And we worship the Lord of the Sabbath on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. Now, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Then the Sabbath day is sent, if He is the Lord of the Sabbath day is centered on the Lord of the Sabbath. We saw previously in our studies that the Sabbath day, you know how it refers to the redemption. If you can remember how the Israelites were redeemed by the hands of Pharaoh, you know. And also how Jesus redeemed us by His blood. So Jesus is the center of the Sabbath. It refers to the cross. It refers to the gospel. And of course, Paul said, if there is no resurrection, why should we preach a gospel? If our preaching is useless. It's not for the resurrection day. The preaching of the gospel is useless if Christ has not risen. The victorious cry of the early Christians was what? Christ has risen from the dead. Yes, the Lord of the Sabbath lives, and the center of our worship is on the Lord of the Sabbath, that is Jesus Christ. The day is changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week, that is Sunday. I looked in the Webster Encyclopedia Dictionary. I wanted to see what is Sunday. What do you mean by Sunday? Is that the first day of the week or another day? So I looked in the Webster Encyclopedia Dictionary. This is what exactly it says. It says, Sunday, first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day. What else do you need? Now let's see the resurrection, how Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Now we have already, by facts, we have proved that Christ rose on the first day of the week, and the first day of the week is Sunday. Now we need to see in Scripture that what does the Scripture say? Did He really rise on the first day of the week? Let's see. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 2. chapter 16, verse 2 says, very early in the morning, let's read from verse 1. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, so that was passed, that's the Jewish Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. So they thought, well, let's go and anoint Jesus. They thought he's still in his body dead. Verse 2 says, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun has risen. Well, when did they come? First day of the week, Sunday. Verse 9 says, Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons. Very clearly says, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Luke 24, verse 1. We saw that whole chapter on the book of Luke, chapter 24, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Chris read that before the service. Luke 24, verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices. So that happened on the first day of the week. Of course, Jesus appeared to the disciples at the Emmaus Road as the first day of the week. Then Jesus appeared to the 11 on the first day of the week when he said, behold my hands, verse 39, and my feet, it is I myself. And John chapter 20, verse 1. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then we see, she was weeping. Verse 13, we see how she was weeping. And verse 14, we see, now when she has said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. We see again how he appeared that same evening on verse 19, that same day evening, the first day of the week when the doors were shut, disciples were assembled together, how Jesus appeared to the disciples. So, Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke, all the Gospels, says that Jesus rose on the first day of the week, that is Sunday. Not only that, not only he rose on the first day of the week, we will see that the disciples worshipped him on Sunday. They worshipped Jesus Christ on Sunday. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 5. Read from verse 1. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear for him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Okay, then keep on reading. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. He is going before you into Galilee. You will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Can't worship a man. It's blasphemy. But here we see the deity of Christ, how they worshipped him. And also, we see, let's go to Luke chapter 10, 10, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 24:51. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, this is after the resurrection, and he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Well, we see clearly on Sunday they worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and the center is the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed and rose from the dead, and the disciples worship the Lord Jesus on Sunday. Now, after the resurrection, of Jesus Christ, the old Sabbath is never mentioned as the day of worship in the church. No more. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, before the resurrection, they met on the old Jewish Sabbath day. But after the resurrection, the church, the old Sabbath was never mentioned in the Bible as the day of worship in the church. Now I want to show you one more thing before I get into that. I want to see if you can remember the day of Pentecost. Can you remember? Acts chapter 2. How the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples and they all spoke in tongues. You know, the day of Pentecost happened on Sunday. If you turn with me, the word Pentecost means what? It means 50th. It means 50th. Okay, Pentecost was celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover. What does the Passover mean? You can remember how the Lord redeemed the children of Israel and how he passed over the houses, and if he found the blood that was on the doorpost, you know, and those firstborn children were, they didn't die. So there was a Passover. So Passover was the day that instituted to commemorate the redemption of Israelite from Egypt. And also in the Bible that Jesus is called the Passover Lamb, because he was crucified on the preparation on the day of Passover. Okay? So the Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23 verse 15. This is in the Old Testament. 23:15. It says here, and you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. How many days? 50 days. The ceremony of Pentecost was always the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Lord's Day, Sunday. From this day, they were to count 7 weeks complete, and the 50th day was to be the Pentecost day. We see that the 50th day brings us again to the first day of the week. And we are told very clearly in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, 12 says here, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Okay? Then they came, and verse 13 and 14 says, they all continued, verse 14 says, they all continued one accord in prayer and supplication. Alright? Now this is the 50th day. Then chapter 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Alright? He said that is the 50th day. That's the first day of the week. Pentecost comes after Sabbath. Okay? That's the first day of the week. That is Sunday. They were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and the whole house they were sitting, there appeared to, you know, to them divided tongues of fire, and here we see how the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that happened on Sunday. The early church met on Sunday. The early church met on Sunday. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, starting from verse 26. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Huh? That is Sunday. Disciples worshipping on the first day of the week. Right? And we see the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the first day of the week. Now we see the church having fellowship on the first day of the week. Alright? Not only that, Jesus also appeared to the disciples on the first day of the week. They had fellowship together. Jesus broiled fish and so forth like that. And now we see Acts chapter 20 verse 6. Remember this story. This is very important, okay? Paul is now returning from his missionary journey to Macedonia, okay? Now, verse 6 says, "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, as we stayed 7 days. Then verse 7 says, "Now as the first day of the week," what is that? Sunday. "When the disciples came to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until what time? Until midnight." Sunday sermon was given on from until midnight. Then go to verse 16. "For Paul has decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. He was hurrying." Hey, Paul was in a rush here now. After the sermon, he was in a real rush. He was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, one day. They are what? They are Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Fell on what day? First day of the week. Sunday. Alright? Verse 18 says, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day when I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you.'" And here he was leaving them, okay, hurrying to go to Jerusalem. Now, Paul is returning from his famous mission to Macedonia, and on his way to Jerusalem, then he stops in his favorite little church called Troas. It's a little church. He spends a week there with the converts there. 1 week. Okay? And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break the bread, Paul preached until midnight. Paul preached to the disciples on Sunday. Number one, he preached on Sunday. Number two, they had communion on Sunday. Okay, now Paul preached to his disciples on Sunday, and he had been, you know, the sixth verse says, chapter 6 says, he spent a whole week in Troas, including the Jewish Sabbath day. But he did not preach on the Jewish Sabbath day. He had all the opportunity to preach on the Jewish Sabbath day. But instead, he preached on the first day of the week. Why did he wait a whole week? Paul could have preached on the Jewish Sabbath day. He had the opportunity. But verse 16, verse 6 very clearly says that he preached on the first day of the week. Then, on verse 16, we see, something very, very interesting here. And now Paul was in a real rush to go to Jerusalem, and he was obviously rushing, hurrying, that he can go there on the sacred day, on the Lord's Day. I wish I can go there and preach on Sunday. Just like how when we go to the Philippines on a missionary journey, we wish, I wish we can go just on Sunday. We will be there early morning so we can preach the gospel. That was the intention of Paul, hurrying to get there so he can preach on the sacred day of the Lord. And so again we see very clearly the church, they met for fellowship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Again, let's go back to another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, this is not the collection for the dead saints where the Roman Catholic Church believes. Saints are believers, okay, Christians who are alive. We are saints, okay, separated unto God. So now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I had given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Again, we see here concerning the collection of the saints. Apostle Paul is saying, we learn two things, that the weekly offerings were done on what day? The first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And this rule is given not only for the church at Corinth, but all the churches of Galatia. It says here, collection for the saints, I had given orders to the church of Galatia. All the churches of Galatia. Not only all the churches of Galatia, but also to us. Because the next line says, so you must do also. Who is you? Talking to who? Whoever who reads this verse. To us. Alright? So it is very clear here, he is speaking to all the churches here. What he's really saying is, in a paraphrase, let everyone on Sunday morning set apart some money for the churches. That's it. As God has prospered you, let the tithing, the offerings be done on the first day of the week. Now, we got a lot of evidence here through the scriptures. The Bible speaks the truth. Sola scriptura. If the Bible says it, then we follow it. And the New Testament church practices the fellowship on the first day of the week. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. What the dictionary in Webster's dictionary, it says the Lord's Day is Sunday. Alright, let's see in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. When Apostle John here speaking, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice and a trumpet, and the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And here we see the revelation of Jesus Christ was given on what day? On Sunday, the Lord's Day. Apostle John was in the island of Patmos for preaching of the Word of God, for preaching Jesus Christ. I mean, he was being banished to an island, to a rocky, desolate, lonely island in the Aegean Sea. For what? For punishment, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for preaching the risen Savior. He was alone. He was separated from everybody else, from all his brethren. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, I'll tell you, you can worship God in spirit and truth. Huh? When do we worship in God in spirit and truth? On the Lord's Day, Sunday. Interesting, huh? Very interesting, very convicting. And this Bible is so clear. Now, if Christ has risen, Christ rose on the Lord's Day, and the book of Colossians says, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, says, buried with him in baptism, that is, the believers are buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So who also rose from Christ? The believers, right? Huh? In the book of Romans also he says, just like Christ died, we die with him. And also as Christ rose from the dead, spiritually we are alive in Christ. So we can worship him. I'll tell you, we cannot worship Christ if you are not in the Spirit. Unless you are not risen with him together in spirit, you cannot worship God. Because your earthly nature can never worship God, because your earthly nature is dead to God. You need to be alive in the Spirit. And here we worship God in the Spirit. We are risen. And also Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So if we have risen with Christ together, and here we are on this Sabbath day, we are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples, they worshipped him. We are proclaiming the Holy Jesus came and met with the disciples on the resurrection day. He had fellowship together on the resurrection day. And we are proclaiming the Holy Spirit fell on this resurrection day, and we are proclaiming the early church have fellowship on the first day of the week. And if so, we are risen believers on the first day we are also raised on the first day of the week, and we are also worshiping him in spirit and in truth on as we have, because we have risen from the dead too. So our mind should be set not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. We are risen with Christ and we worship Christ on the day he has separated us from all the other days. That is the day of the resurrection, the Lord's Day. Every Sabbath day is a day of resurrection. Every Sabbath day. We don't go once a year with blankets and some food and, you know, sing songs and so forth. Like Christ has risen just once a year, and the balance weeks we go back. That's not it. It's every Sabbath day we rejoice of the resurrection of the Lord. That's the whole thing there. In closing, I want to quote John Calvin. Calvin said, But in these days we have full accomplishment and perfection of all things in Christ Jesus Christ. As proof of this, St. Paul says that the old man is crucified with him. Romans 6:6. When Paul speaks of the old man, he means the things that we have received from Adam. So when Paul says the old man is crucified, you know, our old man is crucified with Christ, what Paul is saying is that the things that we receive from Adam is crucified. What things? He's not speaking of a physical body here. Our physical body was not crucified. We are still alive. But he's not speaking of the soul that is being crucified, because our soul is still here. But he is talking when he says the receive, what we receive from Adam is what? The sinful nature of Adam. The sinfulness of Adam was crucified. The blindness that goes us astray, the lust, the passions, the lust, the disobedience to God, the sinfulness, the unrighteousness, it has to be beaten and be crucified, because they came from Adam. Then Calvin goes on to say, how is this been done? Not by our own power or by our own effort, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, who by dying for us wiped away our sins, so that would no longer be charged to our account. He has purchased us, and prerogative, that means great privilege, through the power of the Holy Spirit, enabled us to forsake the world and ourselves. By this our sinful desires shall not master us. Although we are full of disobedience, yet God's Spirit rule over us to hold down the passions and to keep them in subjection. Therefore, it is said that we have risen with Christ. Wow. That's the whole thing on the Sabbath day today. I mean, we can learn how the church, they will worship Christ on the Sabbath day. They have fellowship on the Sabbath day. The whole, when it comes to nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the ground, is that how we need to understand that our sinful nature was crucified in Christ. Our sinful nature was crucified on Christ. You know, our worldliness, our passions, our lusts, our disobedience, and all those things that is, you know, as soon as you get out from here, you're tempted in all directions. But if we are risen from Christ, even when there's still we are living in our flesh, still the Spirit of God ruled over us. Because, can you remember, the temple was destroyed. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit lives in a temple. He doesn't live in a building. The temple is the body of people, believers. The Holy Spirit is ruling us. If the Holy Spirit is ruling you, you're not the master. You're not subject. You're not the master. The master of sinful desires cannot rule over you if the Holy Spirit is living in you. Because you are risen together with Christ, and you are seated where? Where are you seated? According to Colossians, you are seated in heavenly realms. Because if you are seated in heavenly realms in Christ, where is your mind should be? Your mind should be on things above. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. That's where we need to keep our minds. That's where we need to focus our minds. How many times we need to, you know, it's so easy to get into the flesh and focus our minds on all unhealthy earthly stuff and get really involved, you know, spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money on earthly stuff, which is going to perish anyway. So why labor? Huh? Why energize yourself? Why spend all your money on earthly stuff, which is going to perish anyway? So labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for the spirit that endures forever. Then Paul goes on to say, verse 4, Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of who? Disobedience. If you are continually disobedient, living in disobedience, the wrath of God is going to fall. But now yourself are to put off these what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It's a commandment. It's not saying that, well, it's not for me. I can do it. No, it is for all of you. For each one of us, including me. For every person here, it's a commandment. If you truly love Christ, if you truly love him, the disciples went and worshipped him. Why? They loved him, right? Jesus said, if you love me, if you what? Obey my commandments. Follow my teachings. And if you're saying, well, I don't care. That is for everybody else, not for me. I don't think you love Christ. I don't think you can go and worship him. So it's not just coming Sunday and getting to the Word a little bit and going and doing your own thing. Then he says, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We had to be honest. We had to be sincere. We had to be open. We had to live openly before God, because God sees your heart. God sees your motives. God sees everything naked. Everything is cut open before him. So we had to have an honest, open life before men and before God. Then he says, verse 10, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Hey, that's the way God created Adam at the very beginning anyway, right? In the image of God he created. So when Adam fell, that image was broken. Now with the resurrection, with we are spiritually alive, with the redemption, regeneration, we have been brought back to that new image. With what? With knowledge. Renewed knowledge. Where does the knowledge come from? Huh? Here. It's not going to school. The Word of God. It's the Word of God. To love the Lord, how? With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Huh? With all your soul. Everything what you have. Knowledge. Get into the Word. Dig into the Word. That's how you get knowledge. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So spend your time in the Word. Spend your time into the Word, because everything else is going to pass away. Because this is, you know, this is all about. This is the whole thing on the resurrection, when we come on the Sabbath day, how we need to live and worship him. And just like those early disciples, I'll tell you, not only they worshipped him, even when he came to death, and when they were persecuted, when they came to utter persecution, to lion's den, they did not deny Christ. Even in severe hardships, because they saw the risen Savior and they believed the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you trust in the Word of God? Do you want to read the Word of God? Do you want to have more strength? You're saying, well, you know, I don't have strength. I'm very weak. Are you very weak? Here's the food. Here's the strength. Read it. Study it. Here is it. It's there. It's yours. It's free. It's free. No charge. It's given to you. It's worth more than all the monies in the world, all the dollars in the world. It's given free. So redeem the time. The days are numbered. Everybody's life, your days are numbered. And you don't know what day that you're going to, that day God is going to end your life. You don't know. So while there is time, redeem the time. That means you have to buy time. Time is not going to come you. One day, time is not going to come you and tell you, oh, it's time to read the Bible. No way. It never happens that way. You got to labor. You got to strive, agonize to enter through the narrow door. Let's pray.